turn to the scripture. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Last week we spoke on the gospel of peace, and this week we are moving forward to verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The scripture says above all. Now, it's not saying that this is above all and more important. Rather, it means in addition to all the other pieces, take up the shield as well. We must not forget that faith is vital. Faith is of great importance because by grace, through faith, we enter into salvation and we enter into sonship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can never please God without faith. So faith is the connection between the soldier and the captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is vital and greatly reinforces and gives strength to all the other graces, all the other pieces of armor. It's not one. In addition to these others, take up also. For example, we can look at another Bible verse in Colossians 3 and verse 14. The scripture says, above all these, put on charity, or put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. We don't only take up and put on love. We put on love in addition to the other graces, to patience, to long-suffering, to all the other graces. We put on all that God has made available and supplied. These graces complement one another. These graces strengthen one another. But we take up the shield of faith because it was given to protect us from the fiery darts. Above all can also be seen as besides all. Besides all these pieces, don't forget to take up this one vital piece. As I mentioned, faith is the link between us and God. It is the connection between the branches and the vine. And without the connection, there can be no fruitfulness. You cannot bear fruit. We know one thing. His wisdom is above our wisdom. We are weak. He is strong. And faith honors God and looks to God and trusts God. Faith says, Lord, your word has a solution for every circumstance in my life. Your word has an answer for every problem that I can possibly face. The answer is in you, O Lord. Faith says, your word, O Lord, provides a solution for every problem and every circumstance I face. As for me and my household, we shall trust the Lord. That's what faith says. As for me and my house, we will trust the Lord. We will look to the Lord. The shield of faith, there are two shields. You've seen the little round shield, the Roman shield, the little round one that you hold on the wrist and you can move it around. But the shield of faith is big. It's as big as a door. The soldier would put it on the ground and he would crouch behind it and he would be totally hidden from the enemy, totally protected from the enemy. And the soldiers could form a line and make a wall of protection. You remember in the Roman history, they could make what was called the tortoise. They could put all the shields around them like a big tortoise and advance. So the shield protected them. from the fiery arrows that the enemy was throwing at them. Paul is likening the Roman shield to our faith, comparing many similarities. As number one, I've mentioned already, as the shield covered and protected the whole man, the Roman shield, the shield of faith protects us from in the day of temptation. It protects the whole man from everything. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith is what will overcome. We are fully persuaded that God's word is true, that all his promises are true, and this is a genuine faith. You see, if we're not fully persuaded, if we're trying to make up this faith, if we are trying to crank it up in our own strength, that faith will not protect us from every fiery dart of the devil. That faith will be man-made. It is only faith that is birthed in heaven, faith that relies upon the eternal word of God, faith that trusts God and his word and his promises. That's the faith that will protect us. But if our faith is in ourselves, we will not be protected. The arrow will get through. Let me give you an example. Somebody may say a critical or a cutting word against you. And if you are truly behind the shield of faith, that cutting word will not penetrate the shield and you will not... But if you react, it just shows that your shield didn't work. The arrow got to you, it touched you, it hurt you, and you reacted badly, and you came back with an equally cutting word, and you hit them back as hard as you possibly could. No, when we trust the shield of faith and hide behind the shield of faith, it's actually a double protection, because we already have the breastplate that's like a chain link over the whole front, wraps around the back. It's a solid chain. And now we have the shield of faith. It was made of a big wooden frame about the size of a door, and it had layers of thick leather and brass, a cover of brass, because brass cannot burn. When the flaming javelin was thrown at it, the javelin had grooves in it, and they would put tar in the grooves and set it alight and throw this flaming arrow at the soldier. And the soldier would hide behind the big shield, and the arrow would stick in the shield and normally be extinguished and not penetrate and set the person ablaze. And that's what God has given us. He has given us a wonderful shield, a grace that we can hide behind, a grace that we can be protected from every wile of the devil, every flaming arrow of the devil. The shield, it puts out every flaming missile of the evil one. It's a grace that provides safety from the gates of hell that are venting rage and anger against us. Have you ever thought, why is Satan so angry at God's children? Why does he touch God's children? Simply this, because he cannot touch God, so he touches his children. And the good thing is that the weakest and the youngest and the smallest Christian is safe behind the shield of faith. Satan cannot get to them. Satan cannot get them to turn. Satan cannot pluck them out of God's hands. When the attack comes, or let me be clearer, when the attack comes to the one that is holding forth the shield, the one can boldly say, I am safe. My Lord is for me. Who can be against me? Who shall separate me from the love of God? Who can stop God from blessing me? Romans 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, nothing is able to separate us from the love of God. We are safe from these flaming arrows, but what are these flaming arrows? In the devil's quiver, there are all kinds of fiery arrows. Paul mentions a few of them, and he calls them tribulation, anguish, persecution, famine. And some of these fiery darts, if they were to hit us, they cause us to doubt. Others cause us to lust and desire things. Some cause us to be greedy. Some puff us up and make us proud and arrogant and make us very important in our own eyes. We could list so many of these arrows, but to sum it up, the arrows are the wiles of the devil. All his arts and strategies and fraud and deception. That's what the arrows are. And the shield of faith protects us from all those arrows. The old writer, John Trapp, makes a statement that I really like. Satan does more harm in his sheepskin than he does as roaring as a lion. What does that mean? He dresses up as a sheep. He imitates that he's one of the believers, but he's not. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. And when there's a wolf in sheep's clothing, he does more harm even than a roaring lion. And the shield of faith even protects us from wrong and error and false teaching. The wiles of the devil want to draw our hearts away from God, want to get us to trust in self, want to get us to trust in man. But with Satan comes with the force of a lion, but he comes with the subtlety of wrong teaching as well. And the devil wants to try and get wrong teaching rooted in our hearts. But we are safe because Christ preserves us from these false teachings. The shield stops the arrows. And even if one arrow was to get through the shield, the breastplate is the second line of defense. It's a double protection that we have. And by the way, the shield, it can turn in any direction. Wherever the attack is coming from, we can turn the shield in that direction. We who hold the shield, we know in whom we have believed. We know in whom we have trusted. We understand what we have believed. And we are secure. We are strong. The man behind or the woman behind the shield of faith has got such a grip on the promises of God that no one is able to snatch them out of their hand. They know my Redeemer liveth. God is for me. Who can be against me? Now, part of the shield is also when we receive Christ Jesus, we receive the benefits of redemption. And our shield, so this redemption is compared to a shield of faith. Let me explain. We first see the shield mentioned in the very first book of the Bible in Genesis. let me read it to you. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So the Lord is our shield. When we are in the Lord, we are shielded. We are protected. His word offers comfort right from the book of Genesis, right through to the book of Revelation. God is a shield, and we are comforted that He will shield us and protect us. He's our protection, and He's our shield, and we have confidence in God. He that has made his refuge God shall find a most secure abode. There is no safer place than to be in the Lord, a refuge and a strength and a very present help in trouble. That is our Lord. That is our shield. Thou art my hiding place, my shield. I hope in thy word. Psalm 119 and verse 114. So the Lord is our shield. I trust him. I hope in him. I look to him. I remember what he has done for me in the past. I recall past victories, past help that he graciously gave. This is part of taking up the shield, remembering his goodness. Only by looking away from myself and from my ability and looking to God and placing my full trust in him is taking up the shield. Only relying upon his word, relying upon the eternal promises, then I'm able to repel every flaming arrow and even showers of flaming arrows. There is grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's a grace that he freely supplies, grace that grants us strength to overcome. The shield gives us strength to overcome. In our own strength, we have no chance against these arrows. In our own strength, we will certainly fall. But when we are behind the shield of faith, we will not collapse. Now, I heard a wonderful testimony of just how strong someone can be who is trusting in the Lord and behind the shield of faith. And this happened in the 1500s in the country of Scotland. The lady's name was Helen Stirk. Helen was arrested for a so-called crime. And her crime was, in childbirth, as she was in labor, she was exhorted to call upon Mary for help. And she said, no, I will ask the Lord Jesus Christ for his help. And because of this, she was arrested. She said, if I was born 1,500 years ago, an ordinary person like me could have given birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary is not special. She's just an ordinary woman. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I can pray to him. Well, her husband was also arrested. He owned a Bible, and in those years it was illegal to own a Bible. It was even illegal to read a Bible, but he would go into the church and he would stand up and cry out, foul, foul, it is not true, friar, what you are saying. Friar, you are a liar. And he would confront him, but then he would open his Bible and he would desire to show people the truth of God's word. Well, he was arrested along with four others, and the Roman church decided to make an example of them. And these four men and Mary were to be executed. And Mary requested, and she said, "Can I be hung next to my husband?" And they said, "No, you cannot. Part of your punishment, you must watch your husband's execution first." As the husband was about to be hung, it was reported that she said, "Husband, rejoice, for we have lived together many joyful days, but this day we must die together, ought to be our most joyful day, because we must soon be with our Savior, where we will be together forever. I will not bid you good night, my husband." And she kissed him, but she did not say goodbye. She was whisked away. The husband was executed. She was whisked away to be taken to the river and drowned. Remember, she had given birth to this little baby, and she handed the baby to a friend and said, "Take care of this child." The mother's hearts were cut, the great sadness in the city. But as she walked past the castle where all the priests were that had sentenced her to death, she shouted out and she said, "My God will shake the foundations of your castle." And true, 15 years later, John Knox came to Scotland, and Scotland was shaken. Even Queen Mary, she said, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than I fear the armies of France." She was executed. She gave the baby to a friend to look after. Years later, when John Knox came, those mothers must have remembered. They must have remembered that day, and the foundations were shattered. Imagine the flaming arrows of fear that were thrown at them. Imagine what they had to stand in. But they stood firm and they did not flinch. And faith enabled them to face all that they had to face. They held forth a bright testimony to the end. We are safe behind the shield of faith. No one will snatch us from the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when the attack comes, it's not just one arrow, one flaming arrow. There's a great number of arrows all coming at once, a shower of arrows. And the purpose is to try to get our eyes off the Lord Jesus, to try to get our eyes upon the flaming arrows, to try to make us confused, to try to get us to forget that the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. We have been given the shield of faith. Let us take it up. I just want us to see how important faith is, how central faith is to the Christian life. What is faith? Faith is confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, confidence in God. It is confidence and an unshakable trust in the truth of the living Word. It is a confidence in the Lord. It is an understanding that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it's crucial, it's vital, it's important. The Bible speaks of only three things that are going to remain forever. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, the Bible speaks of faith, hope, and love. These three will remain forever. But these three are also ascending steps. Steps that go higher and higher, and the greatest being love. Do you love God? By this I mean, do you admire God? Do you wonder at His majesty? Do you appreciate His goodness? Well, you can't just make it up. You can't just arrive and appreciation and wonder from nowhere. There are steps to getting there. And the first step is the step of faith. We must trust him in every attack. We must then go on to the next step. The next step is hope. Hope is translated, you know, our English word hope doesn't really carry the full meaning. The full meaning is anticipation. Anticipation and expectation. Faith goes to anticipation. I anticipate my Lord is for me. He will not forsake me. His eye is upon me. I will not fear. Who can be against me? And then, this is how we carry on. This is how we face the attacks of the evil one. We trust him. We trust him in the attack. And we have confidence in the attack. We anticipate that he will strengthen me. He will bless me. He will help me. And not only will he help me, he will continue to help me. And both now and in the days to come and in the months ahead and in the years ahead, he will help me. He will not forsake me. As I look back, I marvel and I say, indeed, he has helped me. He has been faithful month after month, year after year. I see God has watched over me. It is true. And this brings a great anticipation. I thank him for his goodness. I thank him for his mercy. I thank him for his kindness to me. A great love in my heart towards the Lord. I have confidence in him because I love him. Don't ever surrender your love. Don't ever surrender your affection to the Lord. What are the steps to getting there? Trust him. Trust him. Hope in him. Have expectation in him. And he will show you his love. I want to look at some Bible examples of those who believed in very hard situations. Those who trusted God when it seemed impossible. It's found in Matthew 8 and verse 5. It's the centurion. The centurion is a Gentile, but he's a Gentile with faith. And he's a Gentile who knows the Lord. He's a good man. Look how he cares. So this centurion, he had a servant that was sick. Look how he cares. He's not a hard man. He has concern. He has a real feeling for his servant. He's just a slave, but he cares. And he honors his servant. Why did he honor his servant? Probably some would say, well, because his servant was hardworking and his servant was faithful to him. But no, I believe he honored his servant because he knew the God of Israel. Because he was a true one. And not only did he consider others, he was humble, and he didn't even think that Jesus was worthy to come to his home. And in Luke's gospel, we see he didn't come himself. He sent the Jewish elders, and he said, ask the master to speak the word. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And my servant, do this, and he does this. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled. And he said, verily, I say unto you, I've not found so great faith, no, not even in Israel. And then in the next verse, verse 13, he says to the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed that very same hour. As he believed, God helped him. And can you see how vital faith is? As we believe, God will help us in his time, in his way. He will deliver us. We can easily see the great importance of faith. As we believe, we shall receive. The shield of faith, if it's going to stop the fiery darts of Satan, must be heavenly faith. It must be based upon the truth of God's word. It must be resting in God. It mustn't be something that I'm trying to crank up. You know, you can have faith in faith, but we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe him. It's not having faith in, I had a vision, I had a dream. No, our faith is not in anything that originates in us. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't work it up. It's something that is given unto us. It is imparted unto us. And if it is true, true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it will stop every flaming arrow, even the sharpest arrow. Faith is likened to a shield. Why? Because we must take it up. We must handle it well. Well, when I was studying this, it said, what a foolish soldier who goes to war and does not take his shield. And when asked, where is your shield? He says, I have one, but I left it at home. Well, that's committing suicide on the battlefield. You cannot face the enemy without a shield. You need the shield. We handle the shield of faith well. How do we do that? How do we handle it well? We handle it well when we know how to quote the promises of God. When we know how to quote the promises of God. Suppose the evil one were to bring a thought to you. Satan brings a thought to us. You're going to starve to death. You're not going to have enough money. No, says the one who handles the shield correctly. No, I know that my God will never leave me nor forsake me. No, he says, bread shall be given and your water shall be supplied. That's taking up the shield of faith and handling it correctly, quoting God's eternal word and promises. But then the enemy doesn't give up. He brings another thought and he says, yes, but it's only a matter of time before you are going to fall. You think you're strong now, but just wait a few days and you'll be down. No, says faith, for I am persuaded that he who begun a good work in me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Faith in God knows the promises of God. I was reading about a minister that he said, do you know the promises? Have you made a list of some of the promises and kept it in the back of your Bible? Have you taken a highlighter and marked some of the promises so that you can read them when you're facing a trial? Have you memorized some of the promises that you can boldly speak them? This is taking up the shield. This is knowing the promises. I close with a powerful Bible example. And this is found in Psalm 56. David is in a very hard situation. He's anointed to be king, but he's not yet king. He's running from Saul, Saul has mobilized 3,000 of his very best soldiers to hunt him. And not just to hunt him, but to catch him and kill him. And Saul is against David with everything. And David is in deep distress that no man will have mercy on him. Everyone's against him. He feels that there's no hope. So he says, "Therefore, Lord, grant, no man wants to show mercy to me. Therefore, Lord, grant unto me your double mercy. I look to you, Lord. I ask you, grant unto me my enemies. They are like a pack. They don't come in ones and twos. They're like a pack of hyenas that are coming to devour me and swallow me whole. Not just one, but many surround me." Oh, this David's in a lot of trouble here. And it's not just in his mind. He's not just worried about, paranoid. It's actually happening. He's actually surrounded by enemies that are hunting his life. What does he do? He says, "Every day they fight against me." But then he turns his thoughts to the Lord. And he says this. He says, "When I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord." That's taking up the shield of faith. No matter what is surrounding you, no matter what you are facing, "When I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. What can man do unto me?" And then in that Psalm 56, it carries on and it says, "All day long they wrest my words." That means they twist what I say. Have you ever had people twist what you say and make it say what you never really said? In one of the writers of old says, "They put my words on the rack and they stretch them out to mean what I never intended them to mean." So David was faced with these people that never stopped twisting his words. There was never a drop of mercy upon their crooked lips. They were lying in ambush, trying to take his life. And he prays, "Oh Lord, cast them down. Lord, you have noted and seen all my steps. You know all my paths, Lord. You count my sleepless nights." The Lord knows when we are distressed. He counts our sleepless nights. And the Lord takes all our tears and he keeps them in his bottle. In other words, he has record of them. Then David says, "This I know, one cry to you, O Lord, for help, and my enemies will turn back." One cry to you, O Lord, and my enemies will turn back. That's taking up the shield of faith. In God I have put my trust. God is for me. In God will I praise. In the Lord, in my Lord, I will praise. In God I will trust. What can man do unto me? And then towards the end of the psalm, he says, "Thou vows are upon me. Thou vows are upon me. I remember this and I give praise." Both God's promises to me and the promises that I've made when I was in distress. Have you ever been in distress and say, "Lord, I recommit my life to you. Oh Lord, I'm going to serve you so well from now." And then the Lord delivers you and you forget to do what you promised. Not David. He remembered and he praised the Lord. But the Lord also promises David certain things. And he says, "Lord, you have promised." And the Lord has promised us certain things. And one of the most comforting promises that we have is John 10 and verse 29. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Isn't it a comfort that whatever the attack that Satan brings, he cannot snatch us or the elect out of the hand of God? The Lord has rescued our soul from death. And then David says, will he not also rescue our feet from falling? In other words, David is saying that I may walk in the light of your presence, finding joy and brightness, walking in liberty and not bondage, walking in holy service, walking in pure communion with you, making constant progress in my faith, walking with the smile of heaven upon me. This I seek, says David. This is my ambition. This is the path that only faith can tread. Without the Lord's help, we cannot walk this path. I close with these comments. Have you come to Christ? Have you believed the gospel? Have you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation? If you have not, oh, bow your knee and bow your heart and come to Him today, and He will forgive you. Call upon His name and you shall be saved. If you are His, stay behind that shield of faith and you shall be safe. Amen.